Let me invite you tonight over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for your word, thanking you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, thanking you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we ask a blessing on us, your people, Lord, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, that you would grant us the leading and the filling of the Holy Spirit to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, that you might be highly exalted, honored, and glorified, and our lives empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be. Bless tonight, Lord. May you be honored and our lives drawn closer to you and to one another, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And we're going to consider three thoughts this evening, and that's going to be the knowledge of godliness. That's part of fighting the good fight. And then also the ignorance of ungodly. We need to be aware of that if we're going to fight the good fight. We don't want to be ignorant of ungodliness. And we also want to understand what it means to lay hold on eternal life. And we read that there in verse 12. Let me ask you this question. Does the believer profess to have eternal life? Okay. Does the believer have eternal life? According to the Lord, he does, right? The Lord, through Paul, is writing to Timothy. Does he have eternal life? And this portion of Scripture here is talking to the believer, for the believer to understand how to walk. And yet, listen, the Lord is telling us to lay hold on eternal life, but we already have eternal life. So what does that mean? Well, the life of Christ in the believer, that's eternal life. We obviously have a physical life. We've been reborn again by the grace of God, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And how much else? How much else? Do we have to add anything to the work of Christ? Or has it been done? It's been completed. Isn't that amazing? That's such an easy concept. How do you know you have eternal life? Because I've trusted in the blood of Christ and that's it. That's all I've done. Do you know the same thing is true about laying hold of eternal life? Just look to Jesus and that's it. But that's it. Amen. We want to do this and we want to do that. And now God will do it through us. But if we look to ourselves and what we can do for the Lord, we're going to fail God and we're going to sin. And we're going to fall into sin. And not that we don't battle sin. We do. But God wants us to understand what it means to fight the good fight of faith and how to have the victory. Did God save us to fail? Did God save us to bring us into the promises? He has done that. And so if we're not in the promises, is it God's problem or our problem? That's a good place to be. Lord, may you show me the error of my ways. Is it possible for a child of God to be in error understanding the truth? Absolutely. And so we've seen example after example of that during the Lord's earthly ministry and the disciples, and we can go even before that. Did Abraham ever make a mistake? Absolutely he did. Did Moses ever make a mistake? He did, more than once, right? Did Aaron ever, did Aaron ever make a mistake? He has. And so God is so merciful and so patient and so kind that even when we get it wrong, if we'll bring it to him and say, Lord, show me. Show me your way, he says, I'll be glad to do that. So let's consider a couple of things here tonight. And that is our duty, really, to unbelieving and believing bosses, the people that we work for. Now, here's what we have to come to this conclusion, all right? Who is the authority in the life? Who should be? Let me phrase it like that. The authority in the life of the believer. Amen. Everybody got the answer right. And the only reason why we got that answer right is because the Holy Spirit's indwelling and you've just heard him. And so it was an easy answer, wasn't it? Life in the Lord is just that easy. You know when we complicate it? When we get involved. And when we start saying, so the Lord is boss. Amen?
The Lord is the authority. Where does our opinion fit in God's line of thinking concerning His authority? Nowhere. Isn't that amazing? Not anywhere. But we'll give it. Amen? We'll give it. As soon as we give our opinion and what we think, listen, we're wrong. All we need to do is say, Lord, this is what... But, no. Who is the authority? Who spoke everything into being? And who is the one that should... That whenever He speaks, that's it. That's it. We don't argue. We don't even if it rubs us, and it will rub us the wrong way because we're dealing with the natural man. And when it does, we just need to yield. Okay, Lord, that doesn't make sense. I don't even like it. Listen, it's okay. I don't even like. Peter did not like the idea that the Lord was going to the cross. Peter found it offensive. But the Lord said, "You're an offense." Amen. May we not be an offense to the Lord. May we be completely in submission to whatever He says and however He guides, and we're going to be on the right track. Amen. And we'll experience His grace and His mercy. Ready to look at verse 1. This is our duty to unbelieving and believing bosses. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters, plural, worthy of a little bit of honor. Worthy of 25% honor, 50%. How about 99.9? Oh, see? Well, you don't understand my boss. What does God say? See, that's our opinion. You don't understand what they're doing. Does God know? Amen. Listen, did Paul know that Nero was ungodly? But he says you're to honor them and you're to pray for those who are in authority, those who are in leadership positions. So he says this. He says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed or spoken against in a very disrespectful or unholy way because of our behavior. That's what he's saying right there in a nutshell. So it is important that we give honor, not how we feel about it. And listen, don't answer. I would dare say everybody in life somewhere has had a boss that maybe they didn't agree with a little bit. All right? That's just plain and simple. But for you and me as believers, God is giving us this direction that we honor them. And we and the Lord knows that everything He asks of us, we need Him for. And God wants to be there for us that we might do these things. See, this is what we call dying to self, that the Spirit might come forth and we might experience the life of Christ. And with the life of Christ comes His peace, God's peace, the Lord's joy, the Lord's contentment and fulfillment in life. And so we just have to be willing to say, okay, God said it, that settles it. Whether I like it or not, that settles it. And then he says this, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren. So don't be unkind to them. Treat them as brothers in Christ, but rather do them service. In other words, we ought to be even more inclined to do what we're supposed to do to the highest degree that we can because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit or the salvation of God. These things teach and exhort. So what are we to teach and exhort? We're to teach and exhort that we're to honor our masters how much? In all things. All the time, 100%, right? If that cuts against our grain, God is allowing that we might bring it before Him and that He could do a work so that we can do it with joy. Now, God doesn't want us to do this, ready? Okay, I guess so. I don't like the idea. No, that's not how God will give us His Spirit, because if we're doing it unto our boss and whoever we're doing it, who are we really doing it unto? The Lord. We're to do all things as we're doing them unto God, whether they deserve it or not. See, that takes grace. That takes the power of the Spirit, and that's where God does His work, even in us. Not only to serve and do it in a way that honors Him, but also it does a work in our lives that we die to ourselves and we become submissive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So anytime there's something, I would dare say, I might be a mistaken here a little bit, but I would dare say anytime something happens in our life that we don't like, the Lord is doing a work. The Lord is to, and what's that work? That we might put our trust in the Lord, and that we might do all things, everything that we do, to the honor, whatsoever you drink, eat, right? To the honor and glory of God, whatsoever you do, all right? So verse 2 says this. I'm sorry, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, these are wholesome words that were just spoken, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, listen to this, and we're going to come here to the ignorance of ungodliness, look what it says in verse 4, he is proud. Did you see that? If any man teach otherwise, well, let me just tell you why you shouldn't do that. All right, well, this is what the Lord says, you're proud. And as far as the things of God, you don't know anything. And that's important. I don't want to be in that camp, just as Peter didn't want to be in Satan's camp when the Lord told him, you savor us not the things that be of God, listen, but of men. And so he says, get thee behind me, Satan, because of what you're doing. And so is it possible for us to savor the things that be of men and not of God? And of course, the answer is, yeah, it's possible that we put ourselves on the throne. Now, I don't think we do it intentionally. It's, I don't want to say unfortunate because it's the way the Lord has created us, but it's our natural tendency. Amen. To put ourselves on the throne. Don't ruffle my feathers, you know, and if you cross me, I'm going to give. That's not the Spirit of God. And so God wants us to say, okay, Lord, I'm wrong in this. And I need you to guide me that I might walk in your ways and not lean to my understanding. And so, again, verse 3 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you know about your enemies, how we're to treat them, didn't he? And if somebody smites you, turn the other cheek. And if somebody, you know, all of these things that God is asking us to do, he never dreamed, never thought about we doing that in our strength. He says, what you do as the children of God, that you might honor your heavenly Father and be a witness and a testimony to the world. That people might say, they truly belong to the Lord. That's the witness, really. That's the best witness. Do you think, is it possible for a person to be saved and not live for the Lord? Absolutely it is. And so what if a saved person has a foul mouth, foul attitude, everything's foul about them, and they go around to, oh, listen, please get saved, blankety blank, blank. Oh, please, get, you know, oh, please, you're so, it's going to fall on deaf ears. They're going to say, you have nothing I want, and if that's what your faith is all about, I want none of it. It's full of hypocrisy and unkindness, and that's the love of God? No, that's the love of self. And so there's no power in that. And so God wants us on board to call on him that he might do his work in our lives. Is it ever too late? Only if you think so. Only if you think it's too late. But in the heart and mind of God, it is never too late. If you are breathing, God has a purpose for you. If you have breath, God, listen, not only does God have a purpose for you, but God wants to use you as his child for his honor and glory. If you want it. If you want it. It's to those who want it. He never forces anybody. And he doesn't want you to even do it under guilt. God's not going to guilt you into it. I on purpose focus never to preach anything and for me to try to make you feel guilty about anything at all. Because if you do it for me, you're doing it for the wrong person and the wrong reason. And it won't go anywhere. It won't go anywhere. All right. And then all we will be is hypocrites making everybody believe that we're doing something that we're not doing, because it won't last long. But if it's between you and the Lord, that's a whole other ball game. If it's God will bless you and me as we individually for ourselves seek him to present ourselves for him to fulfill his will in my life and for him to fulfill his will in your life by his power. God, listen, God knows that he has ordered a tall order that we cannot fulfill in our strength. Is God all knowing? Does he know? Does he know our pride? Does he listen? That's why he set everything up. Every angle has been figured out in eternity past. Every has been thought through. I don't even believe the Lord. The Lord just knows all this stuff about us. Everything is set up to bring up the Lord and to deny ourselves. That's the only. Didn't Jesus say that? If you're gonna be my disciple, if you're gonna follow me, do you know that we even need God to deny ourselves? We can't even do that by ourselves. We need God to sanctify us, and that means to set us apart as a holy vessel, and that's got to be his work. You can't make yourself holy. I can't make myself holy, and I would never preach in such a way to make you even think or dream that you could even do that. Now, I will tell you, and I've told you this in the past, I used to believe that if you're a child of God and you love the Lord, and I did, and I was a child of God, if you cross the T's and dot the I's, you're right with God. If you don't, you're not. Oh boy, was I ever wrong. Because you can cross T's and dot I's and you'll be a Pharisee if there's no Spirit of God there. And you will not draw, you and me will never draw anybody to Christ, ever, ever, ever. But Christ in us, oh, that's another Paul game. That is God's plan. What does it mean for Christ in us? Well, that means more than just being saved and being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit has a way out of our lives to touch the lives of other people. Not us. Let's see, what can we do? How can I say this to this person that they'll be saved? Nothing. Because unless the Father draws him, you can't come to the Son. So it's got to be a work of the Lord. And the only way that that will happen is for us to understand that and see that we can never do that. I'm sure there have been preachers and evangelists that with the sincerest of heart mind to do the right thing, and they didn't do, and they drove people away from God and not to the Lord. Let's not be in that camp. So again, what does the Lord say about these people that teach other things? And, oh no, listen, you can't skirt these things. These are the words of Christ in verse 3. And the doctrine, which is according to godliness, verse 4, if he denies these things, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Man, I'm telling you, you can get around people, and they'll talk bad about other believers. Is that the Spirit of Christ? No, it's not the Spirit of Christ. Do we as human beings have flaws? Absolutely. And here's the whole thing. Listen. Believers need room for God to work in. They've got to come to it. I was talking with somebody just this afternoon, and somebody was telling me about this young fella who made a testimony in Christ and so to speak just fell out of sorts with the Lord. Now he loves the Lord, but he's struggling in something that the Lord doesn't appreciate, that the Lord calls sin. But you know what? There's nothing I can do or say to make that person, and I would never do or say anything other than the Lord can help you. But the Lord has to do it for that person to bring them out. Because if I just tell them, listen, this is not right. You've got to do better. Who's doing it? That you are doing it. This guy's going to do it. You think that's going to last long? No, it won't last long. If God brings a healing, you're healed. If God brings a blessing, you're blessed. Do you see the difference? The natural tendency, I have done it, listen, and it's not right. But if God does it, he makes everything right, and that sets us free. Right. Amen. That sets us, listen, it sets us free from sin, and the best thing, it sets us free from ourselves, and we begin to see how God sees ourself, and all of a sudden, when we get a load of how God sees us as in our own strength and power, when we see it, we want to go, oh my goodness, forgive me, Lord, let me get away from myself. And listen, the world and some other Christians would say, well, I don't see anything wrong in that. Oh, but when you see self the way God sees self, we'll see a lot of things wrong with that. God loathes that. That's, you know, listen, another word for self, ready? Pride. 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 All right. So he says, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. Listen to this. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, he says, withdraw thyself. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, it's pretty simple. It crosses all the spectrums, but there's a specific group that preaches that prosperity is showing God's blessings that you're living right. That's not true. You can be wealthy and be a scoundrel, couldn't you? And be corrupt. And so that's not truth. And by the way, if wealth is godliness, where was Paul? He was not wealthy. And so notice again, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But then he says here in verse 6, and this is laying on, this is laying hold on eternal life. Here it is. This is the important part. Paul, for the most part, was telling us the things that we need to understand to stay away from and how to approach concerning our masters and how to treat them and how to really stay away from our own selfishness and our own pride and be submissive. Dying to self is giving God complete authority in his word. In other words, if God says it, I need to understand how that's to work in my life. Be careful that we don't just read truths and just don't apply them. God wants them applied in our own personal lives. So here's the last thought. Here's laying hold on eternal life. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, if you have that, you will find fulfillment. You will find contentment. You know, and please don't misunderstand me, all right? The things of this world, they're not wrong to possess. And you've heard this before. They're not supposed to possess us. We are not taking a single thing with us. That's not the lost man's philosophy. That's God's. You came in with nothing, you go out with nothing. That's exactly what it is. But for the child of God, we're going to get, oh my goodness, we don't even know. Beyond our wildest imaginations, God has things in store for us. Everything that he created us to like on this side, think about this, listen. Everything he created for you and me to enjoy on this side of eternity, he has many times over that in eternity. Amen. We're going to see things. I mean, God says that they haven't even entered into our mind. He hasn't even told us about them. He says, I've got things for you that you haven't even thought about yet. I like that. Amen. I've got things for you. You know why I like that? Because God's the truth. Amen. And he'll never let us down. When he says he's got things in store for us that haven't even entered into our mind, we can count on that. All right? So, following God's truths will always require the work of the Holy Spirit to see them. And if we're going to walk in them, it has to be the power of God. And so we have to be dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. So notice what he says here. And by the way, this is one of them. Lord, show me godliness. Show me how there are things that we can do or say that we shouldn't do or say that are not bad, but they're just full of ourselves. And they're full of our wisdom. And the Lord would say, die to that. Let me show you. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have fun and you can't, but there's a lot of it that we have to sift that through the Spirit of God. There are some things that would not be inappropriate that God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be able to follow me. And so he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, and he needs to bring us into that. Notice this, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. In other words, if you're being provided for, we have more than what we deserve. Amen. But you don't understand. This is what I work, and this is what I'm just telling you what the Bible says. God is saying here that having food and raiment, let us be therein content. are you content in that? Can you be content in that? If not, there's first place. If you're striving about figuring out how to make money and how to do this and how to do that, working is one thing, and God will bless. But trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this to make money? God says the heart's in the wrong place. You know where he'll point us to? The fowls of the air. Do you see them carrying suitcases or granaries with them? God feeds them, doesn't he? Now, he's not saying that you don't work. He's not saying that you don't, but be diligent and don't be distracted by the schemes and plans of the world to make money. Because that's going to take your heart away from the Lord. If you've got an occupation, God wants us to be diligent and work hard at our occupation. If God happens to bring things, but you're not going out there. In other words, our heart mind is not set, okay, I've looked at this, this didn't work out, or maybe this did work out. What's the next venture that I can make money at? That's not what God wants us to do. That will take our heart away from the Lord. So does that make sense? We're to work where we're working at, and to be content with all that God provides us, but not to be distracted into wealth, into getting wealth, all right? And he tells us why. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's amazing. I mean, it brings us down when we go in that direction, into destruction and perdition. It will destroy us. Now, God said it. Is he the authority? So that's something that you've got to come to between the Lord, and you can be at any level in society and strive to be rich. People think, well, that's wealthy people. Oh no, you could be poor, and that's your mindset. And God says it's not right for the believer. And so God says, they that will be rich, if that's their motive, if that's their intent, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Notice this, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of what? Not some. All evil. All evil. Why do people, and please, just hear me on this. Why do people think about this? Give us this day our daily bread. You know why we bought bread daily? Because it spoiled. It only lasted for the day. And then what happened was somebody came up with an idea of how to preserve it. So now we had a loaf of bread. I kid you not. Walmart special wheat bread. We left it out. We were going to give it to the chickens. And we forgot about it. It was wrapped up. How many weeks it stayed there? Months. It didn't look moldy. It never molded. It never molded. I felt bad giving it to the chickens. I did. I said, well, what's wrong with this bread? You know, how can that be? And the reason for it is because it's the love of money. In other words, the baker needed to keep making that bread fresh. But when you put those preservatives in there, you know, it's like an antibiotic. It kills the probiotics. You're doing things to keep bacteria from growing so that it will be preserved. And now we wonder why we get so sick so easily and why we're not as healthy and why we're not as strong, right? And why there's all these epidemics that we didn't have back in the 70s and in the 80s. Do you know that a lot of children, like 12 and under, have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and are dealing with all kinds of illnesses that we would have never dreamed of back in the 70s and 80s? And that's because we're just getting all these preservatives. And I'm not trying to get off on the food thing, but what promoted that was how can we keep that product on the shelf longer and make money on that and not make so much of, you know what I'm saying, have a lower overhead, lower output, and higher income. It was the love of money. And I don't know how much of these people that were, I think they know now how bad this stuff is for us. If they're honest, I think they know how bad it is. Has it slowed them down? No. that hasn't slowed them down. I watched this one neuroscience talk about the Debbie Hostess little cakes. I forgot what's in there. Crisco. That's trans fat. I think three of those things has enough. I don't know what to disrupt our system. Three Hostess Twinkies. I think it's Hostess anyway. Maybe Little Debbie's. Forgive me. One of those things are chock full of Crisco oil. And Crisco oil is trans fat. And we all know that that's not a good thing. But it lasted longer. It didn't go rancid. It stayed on the shelf. Isn't that amazing? And it's not good for us. They'd learned that a long time ago. But bless God, it's still on the shelf, right? Not really. Not really blessed. The Lord doesn't bless that. But anyway, he says this. For the love of money, verse 10, is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When that's what we're striving for, God's word says we're not going to find happiness there, but we will find many sorrows in that. That's his word, and I think that bears to be true. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, now I know he's speaking to Timothy, but all scripture has been given to us, has it not? For our edification, correction, reproof. You can take that personally. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh, it sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? Isn't that amazing? God says, seek after these things in your life that is produced by the Holy Spirit. Don't produce them. We can't do it. It'll be an imitation of the real thing. God wants us to have his peace, his patience, his kindness, his love. That's how the world will know. Listen, by the love that you have one toward another, that's how the world, that's the witness, will know that you're my disciples. Isn't that amazing? So here it is. Ready? Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. That's it. He just told us. He said all that to say, that's how you fight the fight of faith. And then he says this, while you're fighting the fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You will lay hold on eternal life if the Spirit's working. Whereunto thou art also called. We are called to lay hold on the life of Christ, eternal life, the life of the Spirit of Christ. Amen? Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things. He's the one that makes it alive, right? Quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot. He said it, not me. Unrebukable. We're to keep this without spot. Unrebukable. How long? For a week or two? Or until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if God said to do that, he has figured out, he has provided a way for us to do that in his power. Amen. Never has it ever entered into the heart and mind of God that we are to do that in our strength. Has God ever asked us to do anything in our strength? Yeah, have you ever thought why? It would be failure. How much have you done for God in your strength that ever lasted any length of time? And by the way, whatever did last, God never received it. Because all we did, I'm saying we, I've done things in my strength for the Lord, just like Peter did, right? And all we did was, did you see that? Did you like that? What'd you think about that? Right? No, we didn't go like this. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for doing that in my life. God resists the prideful, even his own. He does not tolerate that because it dishonors him. It robs God of his glory. Does God still want to bless the church? Does God still want to bless this body of believers? He does. He does. How does he want to bless this body of believers, by our effort or his power? Boy, may we seek out God to show us how that works. Amen? Lord, show me how that works. So he says this. In fact, look at verse 14 again. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate and King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Not us, but in him. So how do you fight the good fight of faith? In the Lord. Amen. And here's the question. Here's the question. Should the believer fight the good fight of faith? We should. Should we individually, as believers, fight the good fight of faith? Amen. We should. All we have to do is ask God to show us the way. He's the shepherd, is he not? The great shepherd? And Lord, give me a heart to follow after you. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the wisdom, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, help us to follow after you. Help us to know you in a greater way and your power and the power of the Holy Spirit in our own personal lives, that you might show us great and mighty things that would bring us to the place to praise your holy name that is truly worthy of it, and that we might honor you as you've called us to. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.